Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
All right, my frosty friends, welcome back to The Clean Slate Podcast. I'm Iceman Carson here with Frozen Treat Daniel.
Frosty and, Garza.
We're going to be talking Frosty the Garza. And today we're going to be talking about one movie we grew up loving, one movie Daniel, I think, grew up loving.
Kind of.
And one movie I just love and Daniel doesn't like. So let's go.
Oh
into
my
it.
Gosh. All right, guys. So we are going to be starting off with The Day After Tomorrow. You can find this on Prime or you can own it like I do.
This is based on a book, dude.
Really?
What could this book possibly, like, sorry.
Add?
Sorry, just derail.
Where will you be? That's funny. I also don't understand the name.
Science?
The Day After Tomorrow.
Because the day after tomorrow, like, the world's going to be frozen.
Oh, that's stupid.
I don't know. Okay. I was just trying to help them. What do you want to know what the book's called? The Coming Global Superstorm.
Nice. Okay, so here we go. Here's the log line for The Day After Tomorrow, action, adventure, sci-fi. Jack Hall, a paleoclimatologist, must make a daring trek from Washington, D.C. to New York City to reach his son, trapped in the crosshairs of a sudden international storm which plunges the planet into a new ice age. Wow. That
yeah, that's pretty
is
good.
A really weird log line, but it does encompass pretty much everything that we see.
So this movie comes from beloved director Roland Emmerich. You know him from the bad Godzilla movie that came out in 98. You know him from Independence Day, which is actually a good movie. You know him from 10,000 BC. You know him from 2012. You know him from Anonymous, which is a bullcrap of a movie. You know White House Down, the Independence Day sequel, Midway, and favorite movie of the podcast that actually I don't think this episode ever came out. Moonfall.
He did Moonfall?
Bro, look at his filmography.
I am, and I don't see Moonfall on here. Oh wait, yeah, it's right there. No, he wrote
maybe.
It. He wrote it, yeah.
And he directed it.
Moonfall is
garbage. He's a disaster movie director. Like that's his thing.
Yeah.
And they're also disastrous movies to watch. Well, I like this one, but it's more nostalgia speaking, to be honest.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I'll explain the movie. Yeah, so you have a million characters you're introduced to, first of all.
Yep.
But the only ones you need to know about are Jake Gyllenhaal and Dennis Quaid, because they're cool.
Because they're daddy.
Anyways, why is Dennis Quaid only play dads? I feel like I've only seen him as a dad.
Yeah, he's only been a dad every time he's in a movie.
But anyways, yeah, you got a young Jakey in this, and his dad's this climatologist dude, and he's like, hey, global warming's coming, but it's not going to be hot like we thought. It's going to be cold. Like because
it's
age.
A cold trend, and, yeah.
Which I wish that would happen. I'd rather it be a cold ice age than a hot one.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, so basically what ends up happening is Jake Gyllenhaal is trapped in New York City and his father's coming to rescue him. But basically the entire northern half of the globe will be frozen over to where you cannot live outside anymore. You would need – everyone's moving to Mexico. That's like the plot of the movie. They all have to get to Mexico. And so, yeah, it's kind of like the survival movie. We kind of get some other people's stories as well. Like his Dennis Quaid's wife has a story in this. The vice president kind of has like a subplot. There's a couple of subplots throughout. But like the main core is the father-son rescue mission.
Yeah. So this movie, I remember specifically not being allowed to watch this movie.
Didn't we watch it together as kids?
Yeah. But it was because it was like scary and I was like a very sensitive kid. But I remember one time I walked in. It was the funniest thing. It was the funniest flex. This movie came out in 2004. So I was about like 9. Anyway, but I remember walking into the room.
Yeah, I was like 7.
where Michael and Katrina, my cousin, were. And I, like, watched part of it, and it was the dog scene where they're in the boat, and I was like, whoa.
It scared the crap out of you.
It didn't scare the crap out of me. I was very more actually intrigued. And then I remember telling everybody when I was 9, I was like, yeah, I've seen a PG-13 movie. I'd only seen that scene.
You know what movie for me that was Bourne Ultimatum. I was like, ooh, yeah, I saw Bourne Ultimatum in theaters.
Yeah. That one's, and they're like, wow. Your parents let you? Oh, my goodness.
That's so crazy. You must hate good people.
Okay, so let's get into likes and dislikes. Let's go with likes first. Actually, let's go with dislikes first.
Okay, dislikes. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think this movie's very good. I don't think it's a good movie. And I don't need to go into why, because I just don't think there's many good disaster movies, to be honest. I think they do exist, but they're just usually so
Greenland's a good one.
That it's hard for me. I haven't seen that.
That one's decent.
Because it's a disaster movie, I literally avoided it.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
It just comes across cheesy. I mean, there's also, like, I think they fall into the trap, and this one definitely does fall into this trap as well, of, like, having too many characters.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, some of them show up again, and I'm like, I barely remember this character. So, yeah. Like, that's kind of an issue with it, and obviously it's not super realistic, which is fine. I don't really care. But, yeah, that's kind of, like, my biggest complaint is it's just a disaster movie. I don't really need to, I don't want to tear it apart because I do have a lot of nostalgia for this movie.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is so for me, right, some of it just doesn't need to be in there. So those three guys,
like,
that
the whole,
like,
first 20 minutes does not need to be in this movie.
No, seriously, it's like, wait, what? And when I started watching it again, I was like, I don't remember half of this. Like, mm-hmm. when I first watched this movie,
I only remember them being in the library. That's all I remember the movie being.
Exactly. So like, Cloverfield's a good disaster movie.
It's a monster.
I mean, it's
movie,
kind of
though.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, all right, right.
Monster March. Keep an eye out.
Monster March. Yes, let's go. So anyway, no, I think Jake Gyllenhaal is actually fantastic in this, but for the most part, every other actor is kind of weak.
Well, I was gonna say Dennis Quaid has his little team of guys that follow him to go to the library, and I don't know who they are. Like,
yeah,
but they're
yeah.
like, oh, I'll follow you to the ends of the world, and I'm like, who are you? Like, I don't know.
And
you.
Then they like both die.
Yeah, and, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, I didn't feel any emotional connection to their deaths. Like,
no,
whatever.
Not at all.
Also, how do they get out of the library when he gets there? What? Does the president send a helicopter, or what happens?
What? Did you not rewatch this?
I just don't remember. Like, did I fall asleep? Did I miss something?
He didn't rewatch it. Anyway.
No, I did. I swear I did.
They walk out onto the ocean, and
I
the helicopters
it.
Came and pick him up.
That's what I was saying. The helicopter shows up, right?
Yes.
How does the helicopter know they're there? Why did the helicopter just show up in the first place?
They sent out a thing.
That's stupid. That is a stupid thing.
Yeah, it's a dumb ending. Okay, let's get into likes now. For the nostalgia part in me, when I watched this was crazy.
Skyrocketing.
Like the huge tsunami in New York and... The like four twisters in LA, and like if you're in the center of the eye, like you just freeze to death. Like that was crazy
that was
to me.
Sick.
I was like,
I do like that.
Oh
scene.
My gosh! So all of this, I think the coolest things are that, like the huge tsunami scene. Like I remember, I was watching this last night, and I literally was just like, as the tsunami's coming, I was like. Wow. I was just like, I think the little boy in me came because I was like, this is
during
so
the,
cool.
During the tornado in LA scene, I was like thinking, I was like, man, that'd be really bad.
Oh, yeah.
That was my only thought. I was like, yeah, that would suck. And I'd probably go look at it too. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like the nostalgia is crazy. I also was laughing at some of the science of it because it isn't very accurate. So I was like kind of giggling to myself because I didn't know science as a child. I also agree, like, Jake Gyllenhaal is just kind of fun, especially young Jake Gyllenhaal. I kind of forgot, like, what his personality was like, or his charisma as a young man is very different than his current charisma. So that was kind of fun to see him, like, a little boyish. Yeah, he's kind of a different vibes now. So this is kind of fun. Dennis Quaid is a cool dad, so he's fun to see.
he always plays the redemptive dad, too.
Yeah, he always saves him, like, saves the day as a dad somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
And then his kids are like, I love you. Thank you for giving this dolphin a new robot tail.
Is he in that movie, Dolphin Tail?
I'm pretty sure he's the dad, right?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Anyways, there's that. But then also, I don't know why, but when I have a lot of nostalgia for when they're in the library and, like, gathering, like, the chips and, like, books to burn.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It's because when that used to be in the forts. You and I used to be in the forts, and they
pretty much
create a fort.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, it would be fun to get stuck in a library like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so part that's kind of cool. I feel like it's a good movie to watch when it's cold out, too.
Yeah, yeah. This was a really... It honestly, it does hold my attention. Like, don't think about it too much. Don't, like, think about the stupidity of the science behind everything. But, like, it kept my attention last night, and I didn't even realize it was a two-hour movie. There's, like, maybe a couple of slow parts, but for the most part, it's a really fun, enjoyable rewatch for me.
Also, the half-baked theme at the end is kind of hilarious. Like, the third world is taking us in.
Oh,
we've
turned
them away. And I was like, okay, like, this is...
No,
you're
rewatching
spell it out
this
like that? It's such a random theme.
It was so, like, we need to take care of our world. Because this could happen.
No.
It was so, like,
but
global,
it's like,
anti-global warming.
Americans are hopping the fence into Mexico.
Yeah.
And I was like...
They made such a big deal
about
that.
It's such a half-baked theme.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... I don't understand. Like, it's not... Anyways, also a sequel to this would be really interesting. I would love to see.
Honestly, if they followed it up with the heat portion of the global warming, that would be interesting.
Well, like a post-apocalyptic world where half of it is frozen. Like, you could have, like, people living out in the snow that are, like, evil, like, cannibals or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Like The Road. It pretty much becomes The Road.
Yeah. That's a good point. This is the sequel, the prequel to The Road.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, cool. So let's move on. That is The Day After Tomorrow. You can watch it on Prime Video or FX now. So now we have a very good movie that all of you may know, Frozen. This
is
just
Snowpiercer, and I was like, "Oh, you changed."
No, we're saving
so
Snowpiercer for last.
Oh, okay. Damn it!
When the newly crowned Queen Elsa accidentally uses her power to turn things into ice to curse her home in infinite. No, I'm just kidding.
We should have done a Frozen double feature.
Yeah, we should have, like, the good Frozen and the bad Frozen.
They're the good one's the animated one.
So, guys, this
this is a bad movie, dude.
Okay, so here we go.
Is
2010. 2010's Frozen. Three skiers stranded on a chairlift are forced to make a life-or-death choice, which proves more perilous than staying put and freezing to death.
How do you make a movie called Frozen and cast freaking Iceman as a character who can't survive when it's frozen?
Yeah, right. So this movie pretty much is these
spoilers ahead. I feel like we can't talk about it without spoiling it.
Yeah, no, we're gonna spoil the whole thing. So guys, just real quickly, it's three teens who sneak up onto the mountain to ski. They don't want to pay, so they sneak there. So really, the whole, like, place doesn't know about their, like, presence, and it turns out that, you know, you need to pay for your chairlifts, otherwise we will get stuck on a chairlift in the middle.
Is that the message of the film?
Yeah, that's the whole message. Oh, that's nice.
Little pyramid.
So that's pretty much it. We have Sean Ashmore, which he is probably the most notable actor in this. He's been in X-Men. He plays Bobby Drake, Iceman, as Carson said. He's also been in video games like Alan Wake 2, Sons of the Forest. He's in that. And then he been in The Boys, the new show. And yeah, he's kind of been in everything. I actually like Sean Ashmore.
I think he has a nice, like, boyish charm almost.
Yeah.
Even though he's, like, older now.
And then we have Kevin Zegers, who is also in The Rookie. He is... What is he in? You said something that he was in. Did you say that he was in Final Destination?
He's in Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's where I know him from. Okay.
That's what Alyssa knew him from, that because I watched this with Alyssa and she's like, why do I know this guy?
Oh, my gosh. Do you know who he is?
He's Gossip Girl. XOXO.
No, he is Josh from Air Bud.
What? No way.
He is the main boy in Air Bud. That is crazy.
Why did he become this guy?
I have no idea.
That sucks.
Okay, he definitely wasn't in Final Destinations.
No, the girl's in Final Destination.
Oh, really?
Emma Bell. She's in the Final Destination. Final Destination 5.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one.
And Hatchet 2 as well, if you're a Hatchet fan.
So yeah, both or all three of these actors are, they're pretty like actively working still, just not like A-list actors.
No. I mean, no, they're not. They're not.
Okay.
I was going to make an argument for one of them, but.
Well, I mean, I would just say Sean Ashmore is probably the most notable. But, okay,
even
cool.
Then.
So let's talk about it. Likes and dislikes. Let's start with our likes first, because I know you hate this movie.
I don't hate it. Okay, I'll say my likes.
Okay.
I enjoyed watching this with my wife.
Okay.
Because there's a very gross scene that happens, and we both had very visceral reactions to it. Where at first we're like, "This is kind of cheesy," and then Alyssa had to look away. She's like, "I can't let this."
Was it when
sick.
He's getting
and
eaten?
Then when he jumps and breaks his legs?
Oh,
and then gets
yeah, yeah.
Like it's a gross. This movie it has like some graphic stuff in it that I actually feel like is handled well.
Yeah,
and I think is a good selling point for the movie. On top of that, we also wait. What? Hang on. I'll say something after this. I just noticed. But also the what's it called? Yeah, I just think the visceral nature of it. Alyssa getting sick was funny to me. That's mostly the things I like. It's filmed okay. There's a couple parts where I'm like, maybe don't make his legs look so straight when he's jumping off the ski lift.
Yeah.
Because it made me think like, oh, he straightened his leg. You're an idiot. But anyways, overall, it's filmed fine. I feel like they do a good job with like the premise. It's a decent premise overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I liked about this movie was the grossness of a couple scenes. Also, while watching it, it was fun to put myself in their shoes. I was like, what if I was up there with me, Daniel, and Rebecca? How would that go down?
I would make you jump because I'm too heavy. I would have died instantly. Actually,
oh, I would have pushed you.
No, I would have pushed Alyssa off because she's the lightest one, so she has the like most potential to not break.
You know what I would do? I wouldn't jump off until the morning.
Yeah, that's also facts.
And I would
have landed on
my
butt. Like,
yeah, I would have landed on my butt or like. Maybe I just would have kept climbing down, regardless of it cutting my hands. I just would have gone all the way.
Right.
This is literally that Tower movie that came out.
Yeah, pretty much. I liked Gruesome. The gruesome aspects of it.
Yeah.
I think it plays it out relatively smart, right? Like, there's wolves there now.
Mm-hmm.
There's the aspect of, like, it's Sunday for them. Like, that was a big reveal. Like, it's Sunday, and the ski resort is closed for the entire week. So, like,
exactly,
nobody's going to be there. However, I don't know if that actually works, if it works like that. Like, if it's in the middle of the
season, I'm not sure, honestly.
Season, like, why wouldn't it be open? Yeah, throughout the week.
Yeah, it's just convenient for the plot.
Right. Exactly. And we can go into our dislikes.
Okay, dude, this plot is so stupid. But you know what made it worse was the buildup to the plot. Like, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to get stuck on the ski lift pretty quickly into this movie.
Yeah.
There is setup for this. I don't know why we need it. There's like a romance B plot.
Yeah.
With a character who doesn't make it to the end of the movie, which is another thing that sucked.
Yeah. Super random.
Actually, okay. They kill off Emma Bell's character's boyfriend, the guy from Air Bud.
Okay.
Pretty
yeah.
quickly. Like, he gets eaten by wolves. It's horrifying, right? It's a great mm-hmm. scene. And then you think, like, oh, there's this weird, like, Sean and Emma are kind of, like, bonding. Like, this is because they hate each other at the beginning. So I'm like, okay, that could be an interesting angle to take.
Mm-hmm.
But then he escapes, and you're like, where'd he go? He doesn't come back, and he just gets eaten, like, off screen.
Yeah, like, that was kind of
such a disservice. That ruined the movie for me. Like, that's what yes. that was my breaking point.
Yeah.
Because I could put up with a lot of cheesy, because I like horror films, which are typically mm-hmm. a lot of times cheesy.
Very cheesy.
Yeah, so, like, the beginning dialogue is super cheesy. It actually, this has Final Destination vibes at the beginning a little bit. Like, it keeps showing parts of the ski lift, like,
yeah.
loose and stuff. I'm like, oh. So, yeah, for me, it was mainly the plot and cheesy dialogue that took me out of it. Like, if this had maybe two more rewrites, maybe move some events around, it would be great, like, honestly.
Yeah. Or make it just, like, the stakes also are higher. Like, well, yeah. I don't know.
And I feel like there are some inconsistencies with the stakes, too, though. Like, there's the whole issue of her getting frostbite on her face, and then it's not a big deal. They're like, oh, don't yeah. touch your frostbite, and then she rubs it off, and he doesn't even
And then
notice.
Nothing happens. Yeah, that guy's is frozen. It's a tough film. It is enjoyable. Like, it didn't get horrible ratings, like,
yeah,
to be
it's
fair.
A fun movie. It's a fun movie.
It's just, just don't think about it too much like Carson and I do, because then you won't enjoy it. All
I still
right.
had fun watching it. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah, I did too.
That's about it. It was fun, but I would never watch it again.
Okay, cool. So here is the log line for our final film of today. You guys are lucky. You got three films in one episode.
Wow. What other podcast does that?
Yep, none. Okay, guys. So this is Snowpiercer, 2013, 2 hours long. Here we go. In a future where a failed climate change experiment has killed all life for the survivors who boarded the Snowpiercer, a new class system emerges. Carson, why don't you go through the plot a little bit?
Okay, so basically, as far as we know, the surviving world from this failed experiment is on a train that just goes around in circles all the time. Like, they pass, like, the same place mm-hmm. all the time. It's a, what would you call it? It circumnavigates the globe, basically. It goes across the entire planet,
yeah.
basically. So it is a self-sustaining train. This is the last of humanity, and in the back of the train is where all the poor people are. And in the front of the train, obviously, is the conductor. In the middle, there's some rich people. And there's also some weirdness going on in a few of the areas. The people in the back, we learn, are obviously, like, you can tell, like, they're not doing great. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're all suffering. You see some of them missing limbs. That's because punishments are to put your arm out of the train and it gets frozen off. So stuff like that. And they're eating really gross-looking food. You don't know what it is.
And I thought it was slowly, like,
well, you find
it
out
like
what
crickets
it is.
Or something.
It's like cockroaches.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's a big spoiler alert, but yeah, there's a big reveal. They eat cockroaches. yeah, so that's the gist of it. And the main, like, event of the film is Chris Evans' character is leading kind of a rebellion against the
yeah, like
upper
a revolution.
Class of the train. Kind of think Hunger Games almost. And they're working their way up to the conductor of the train. And there's some, like, big reveals. This is a science fiction film, so there's some weirdness along the way. But yeah, it's pretty great. I love this movie. There's also was cannibalism at one point in the past.
Yeah.
And you find out some cool reveals of that. It's kind of a sickening movie in some way, like, if you really think about it. But yeah, this is from director Bong. You know him from Parasite. This was one of his earlier films, though.
Oh, is this really the same director?
Yeah. Same themes, too.
Bong Joon-ho.
It's all about, like, class issues.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just with way more white
people.
I
love this movie. Yeah, we have Chris Evans as the main character, even though it's a Korean movie. Korean-French movie, which is interesting, but yeah.
Yeah, no, so you got Chris Evans, you got Jamie Bell, Tilda Swinton, Ed Harris, Song Kang-ho, John Hurt, Octavia
well,
Spencer.
Well, Tilda Swinton's the whitest person on Earth.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, automatically.
Right. And you got this one girl, Allison Pill, who has been in, like, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Dead in
Real Life, Milk, Goon. Like, she's been in a couple of good movies. Anyway, so let's get into likes and dislikes. We'll start with likes first. And I'll go first. So pretty much what I liked about this movie is I think it's a really good setup for a movie. Like, I liked all of the action in the movie. It was so cool. It was like a really good, enjoyable action movie. I think that, yeah, there's a lot of good character development too. Not only in Chris Evans, but in what's someone call it? Jamie Bell, Tilda Swinton, Octavia Spencer for sure, and Ewan Bremmer, who plays Andrew, he's one of the fathers. There's like a really good moments in there. And so I think overall it's pretty good dialogue writing and character development writing. And then that's kind of as far as I go.
I'm gonna fight you.
What? I said I like most of the plot.
That's true. Okay, so I love this movie. This is a movie I rewatch often. I actually rewatched it. The last time I rewatched it before this was on the Amtrak, which was weird. but yeah, so for me, like, I love the cinematography in this, especially like how do you make scenes inside these cramped quarters in a train car
for sure.
Like, interesting. And they play off it really well, especially with the action scenes, like the combat scenes, I think are super brutal and cool.
They're
and
so
the reason
cool.
It works for me is this claustrophobic. Yeah, I mean, when mm-hmm. he gets the freaking axe and like goes to town, it's so sick. And like the armored guys too.
Yeah. Or just even the first scene where they all this. Run through the thing with the like barrels and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, oh, so good.
It's epic.
Yeah.
It's super epic. You can feel the infections that are going to happen after this battle, you know? Like it feels grimy. I enjoy that. I like high concept science fiction too. So I think this whole concept is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And like the whole like theming of it, I think is really interesting. Like exploring class issues through this kind of film is.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool way to talk about a topic that for many people will probably be boring. So that works. And then I think some of the like moral questions towards the end of the film about what should we do now that we know what we know? Cause it almost seems like, hey, we're in this horrible situation. We don't have an answer to it, though. Even like now that we know things, we don't have an answer. Like we can't mm-hmm. fix it. Like things should just stay horrible, basically, is the answer.
Yeah.
So I think that's like a cool like thing for me, kind of Twilight Zone vibe in a sense, where it's like there's no way out of this. But I think the acting and the action really stand out for me in this movie. And if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. I think it's a cool movie. I wish I could have seen it on the big screen, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could have too. All right. Now let's go into dislikes.
Yeah, I
want to
know why you don't
like
it.
You go first and I'll go last. How about that? Your dislikes.
Okay. My dislike
You're like,
is
I don't have
honestly
any.
The very... No, I don't really have any, but also like the very, very end, I do feel like there's just certain things that happen. I don't want to spoil it because I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie.
This movie is like 10 years old, so I think you can spoil it.
Okay, the fact at the end where it's like, oh, we can live outside because we see these polar bears. I'm like, that's not a good indication that you can live outside. I just don't love that ending. I get that it's supposed to be very like hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'm like, I don't think it's actually hopeful and they're all just going to die. And maybe that is the better way to view it. Like it's the idea of hope that's more powerful than the reality, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the kind of ending I love to this movie. I also like. I think that's it, really.
Okay.
I just really don't love the ending to this movie. Some of the CGI on the train is iffy. Like on the outside of the train, it doesn't look great. Like I think it could be better. That could also just because of how old. Like this movie's kind of older, and it wasn't. You know, it's not like a big Marvel movie or whatever, so it could be part of it. But,
so now let me get into my dislikes. So
all right, let's hear them.
So you know how I do struggle with sci-fi movies, right? It's just never been.
Yeah, that I figure.
So on the plus side, the plot I liked. I liked up until he gets to the front of the train. And not even to the front of the train, because I actually think that they have a good moment, Chris Evans and Song Kang-ho. They have that good moment where he's like...
Just before.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to blow up this door because I don't want to deal with like what comes next. He's like, I just want to leave. And it's kind of interesting they have this like, do we keep letting this happen or do we just escape for ourselves? Pretty much like, do we do it for the greater good or do we do it for... selfish reasons. So for me, I liked all that. What I did not like is Chris Evans, and I just hated him in this film. Like, his line delivery, his whole, like, just his character in general, it seemed so,
like... His performance, like, you didn't like?
Yeah, his performance was awful, dude. Like...
I thought, like, he did a good job. I mean, it's kind of like a very silent character, though.
So, here's the deal. I have started to notice that I don't like Chris Evans' voice, and I've been kind of on a Chris Evans, like movie watching.
Hate Train?
No, not Hate Train. Oh. Like, I've watched a lot of his movies recently. So, like, Gifted or Knives Out again. We watched it recently. And I kind of felt the same way. Knives Out, yes, he is good. I think there's more depth to him in this.
Does he feel smug to you? Is that what it is?
No, not necessarily. I would say this. I think I have a really good indicator where I can tell people are just reading lines off of a script rather than actually feeling the emotion behind everything. So even when he goes into his long old monologue about how he didn't want to see a baby eaten and he cut off his, you know, all that thing. It was just like, okay, so what? Like, who cares?
Interesting.
Like, I don't know. I just didn't like Chris Evans in this movie. And I did think about it at one point. I was like, I would have actually appreciated it if this movie was more like a movie of Drive. Like, right? Like, what if you just had this one-note character throughout the entire movie of, like...
He didn't talk.
Yeah, like, he doesn't talk. He just demands things. Let's get out of here. Let's go. And then they have that big, deep conversation at the end of, like, no, I'm doing this because of this. But he becomes such a repetitive character of, like, no, we need to remember where they kept us, like, all these different types of thing, because I think the movie is good enough to where it reveals so much in a short amount of time. Like, it's revealing the class system, it's revealing how they've been actually treated, it's revealing how they're even, like, brainwashing the children in the train.
There's, like,
which
a
is,
whole, like, weird schooling thing,
and it's crazy. It's like this movie it does enough to, like, stand on its own
movie
without Chris Evans being so repetitive and annoying. And all that to say, I hated Chris Evans in this movie. I could not stand him. Every time he talked, I just rolled my eyes. So anyway, that was my huge issue with the plot/script writing of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then my that's second fair thing is...
I disagree.
No, that's fine.
But it's fair.
Yeah.
We don't have to agree on everything, you know. I mean,
right? No, I still love the movie. I still think it's, I think it's a 7.5 out of 10 for sure. Like, I really enjoyed the movie. I would watch it again. I just cannot stand Chris Evans in this movie, and I really like Chris Evans, but he just seems so Captain America to me, where I wanted more of a, like, grungier, like, darker,
more emotional, maybe.
Yeah, something like that, to where he still feels like this, like, Jesus character, where, like, he can't do anything wrong. He is literally
He is the Jesus.
He's just, like, such
a
perfect character.
Would a flashback to him eating a baby helped you?
Yeah, probably, honestly. Like, not necessarily so graphic, but something towards, like, a little bit grungier. I think that would have definitely helped me. Because
I don't know why. When did this come out? Because the first time I watched this movie...
2013. So it's
interesting. Yeah, so many of the, like, aspects of this really disturbed me in 2013.
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty disturbing film. Okay, lastly, though, is the CGI in the outside world is god awful.
Yeah, it's rough.
Like, to me, honestly, A Day After Tomorrow was better than this. And A Day After Tomorrow.
I don't know about that.
A Day After Tomorrow came out in 2004. And
dude,
this came
those
out.
Those wolves have no, like, hair texture.
Okay, but this came out 9 years later, and it is that bad? Like, no way. So
I think it's budget, to be honest.
Yeah, if I think...
They should have just used a model would have been better, I think.
Yes,
like a train, like a model train of some sort.
Or even if they, like, if they remastered this movie, that would probably do it for me to jump up to an 8. Like, I really like this movie.
Okay.
And then if they did something about Chris Evans. Like, I don't know if it's replace him or just make him better. This movie is a
cannibalism
solid
flashback,
for me.
I'm telling you.
This movie is
we
great.
Want Chris
it's
Evans to eat a baby.
Two things that drop it for me, and I really just did not enjoy it that much. As you enjoyed it.
That's Snowpiercer. So go, let's all get our snows pierced together, boys.
Snow piercing party next. Anyway, guys, yeah, so that's Snowpiercer. Go check it out. That is on Hulu and Netflix, like we said again. And next week, everybody, we will be moving on to our Christmas special. We have four movies in store for you, kind of like what we did last year. Carson's picking one. I'm picking one. Rebecca, my wife, is picking one.
Is that next week?
Alyssa, and it is Carson's wife, and she's picking one. It's next week in regards to, like, the week after. This comes out next week.
I know it come when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm just no, like, that's next week. That's our Christmas special. That is what we're doing. And then for our last podcast of the year, we will be doing a 2023 year rewind of all of the movies that we loved throughout this this year that we've reviewed, and some of the movies we might have missed and didn't cover, but we still think they're worth talking about. So, guys, you won't want to miss our year celebration, end of year celebration in that.
That's a clean slate.